Hey everybody, welcome to Teal Tinted Glasses, Barracuda After Dark. After game two, you got to deal with me rambling a little bit until Zach comes on. But here I am. Sorry about last night, guys. I wasn't feeling fantastic. And then Zach was also pretty tired, so we just kind of mutually agreed that maybe it was an omen, so we didn't go on. So I apologize. But we're here today. Zach will join me as soon as he does all his locker room shenanigans that he does. But hey, I mean, let's talk about this game first. We'll talk about game one when Zach gets on. Sorry, I can't just make Kaylee come on every time. You can get one of these lovely shirts though from Bring Hockey Back. Yay! Okay. How is everyone doing? Look, we got nine people already. This is great. Okay, let's talk about game two, obviously. And we'll get once that gets on, we can kind of backtrack to game one. I don't think anyone wants to talk about game one really, but probably should at some point. Barracuda, obviously, for those who just watched, those who were there, those who are listening on the radio, Barracuda won 5-1 in game two. Very convincing win. Maybe their best game that they've played this entire playoffs, I think. When I looked at, and I didn't think game one was that bad. I think game one, they just, they were better, I thought, for some stretches of that game, but then the Gulls just managed to, the Gulls played them tight, and I think that they just got more bounces than the Barracuda did. But to their credit, they came back out and this game here, it's one of those things where the Barracuda, they do something wrong, and you didn't see it as much in the goal series or in the Stockton series, but this was a good bounce back game after a tough loss. And obviously it's difficult for the Barracuda because you're looking at the way that the playoffs are set up, and the Heat did what they had to do. They took a game, the Heat, sorry, the Gulls did what they had to do. They took a game in San Jose, so now they've got three straight games in San Diego to try and put the series away for themselves. And I think that's obviously not ideal, but I understand why they do it that way. But it really, I, to me, it kind of gives to me it kind of gives the advantage to the road team because you take a game and then you have three straight games to finish it off in your barn. I'm not worried about the Barracuda getting blown out in the next three games. I think if they can play the game they did today, then I think that they would, they're going to be fantastic. So what else we talk? I mean, yeah, just Matt in the chat, just, again, Rourke Scharchet, great game, doesn't score. That's, thankfully other people scored instead. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth bringing up. Rourke Scharchet's been fantastic. Vince G in the chat saying that San Diego does play good at home. I mean, I feel like this was a home series, like a regular season series. I think both teams won at home. I don't know if they've, I feel like they won at home. Like the home team you generally won, but I could be wrong. I don't exactly have that in front of me, so I'm just making things up as I go along. But as one-sided as the game looked at time, I mean, Troy Groznick had to make, 32 saves in this game. That's pretty intense. Yeah, pretty intense stuff for sure. Yeah, 5-0. See, there you go. Dipsomaniacal has confirmed I'm correct, which is always nice to know that I'm not completely talking out of my rear end. Other things that were positive from tonight's game was obviously the power play finally clicking. Going 2 for 3 on the power play is definitely the Barracuda that we know and love. So there's I thought that was pretty good. Also, just kind of housekeeping, if you missed our Wednesday show, it was me, Kevin, and Kaylee Krish, the in-arena host for the San Jose Sharks and the San Jose Barracuda. So if you missed that, she was a ton of fun to have on. Definitely go back and check that out at some point. We're just kind of killing time till Zach gets here, so what do you want to talk about till Zach gets here? Rob saying, too bad the Rangers lost today. Nah, I don't mind. I like playoff hockey. You know what? That Senators team is something else. It's yeah, I mean, it's just that's all there is to it. It's just something else. That Senators team's been pretty good this year. I don't get it. I mean, I picked the Rangers to win the series, and they think they still can. Thank you. I am glad to be feeling better as well, Laurel. So I don't know. I thought that the games today were pretty interesting. Washington getting another win in, I thought that was good. Because if you're what's the point of having why does the puck 860? Yeah, you Yeah, I mean, Ovi, I think the problem with the Capitals is to in order to unlock Justin Williams, you have to make it to game seven. If you don't make it to game seven, then you're wasting money on him because he's not gonna he wins game sevens. But if you can't get there, then you can't release the Justin Williams magic. Oh. Yeah, I hear you, Vince. Vince saying yeah, he doesn't want Ottawa to win because the 1-3-1 shouldn't be rewarded. Well, that's what you get. DeSimone, yeah. I mean, look, I know I got a couple in the chat just saying talking about DeSimone. Yeah, Nick DeSimone has been fantastic since coming over. You never know what you're gonna get, and it was funny because I heard some good things about him, but it wasn't like when I was looking up when I was trying to look up stuff to write about the player because I don't watch a ton of NCAA hockey, and by I don't watch a ton, I watch the Frozen Four, and that's about it. And I didn't know too much about him, so I got to I got to check it out, and I hadn't got a chance to see him, so it's nice to and I couldn't really find much information about DeSimone online. And it's been cool because he's come on and he's come in and he's been really really good. And yes, the 1-3-1 with Peter Laviolette being a jackass about it. Oh, what a game that was! Oh, go look that up. It was like what? I think he was coaching Philly at the time. An Ottawa Nashville Finals. Well, just burn NBC to the ground, I think, if that happens. I mean, I think the only thing, you know what? I think maybe the Ducks would even draw more TV eyes. I don't know. Ottawa can't. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I look at. I don't think anyone can beat the Pens. Period. I don't think there's a team in the East that can beat the Pens, and I don't really like anyone in the West beating the Pens at this point. I would like to see Nashville go all the way, but. I don't know, man. It is a nice banner, isn't it, Puck Guy? Thank you. Look, I but back on DeSimone, I mean, this is a guy who, I didn't know what to expect because there wasn't a whole lot about him. I mean, I got talked to by a few people on Twitter that said that, he was really good, but you didn't really hear much about him when the free agent thing was going on. Like he was a nice under the radar signing. He wasn't a guy that a ton of people were talking about when we picked him up. And yeah, he's turned out to be really, really, really good. And I'm really, really happy with DeSimone. He's like one of my favorite. He's quickly. Yes, DeSimone came out of I want to say frick. Now I don't even remember. We've made so many weird signings and picks. I don't say Union. Wait, I should know this. Like we only talk about DeSimone every show. Yeah, Union. There we go. Vince G saving me again. So there wasn't really a whole lot of talk about him. It's good. I'm glad he's worked out, and he's quickly becoming one of my favorite guys on the team. And I can't wait to see what he does next year, considering what he's done in such a short time in the system, in the short time in the system this year. So there's that. What else do you guys want to talk about till Zach gets here? I can't talk about baseball. I don't know crap about baseball, but yeah. No, I don't. Maybe. I think DeSimone's in the I think that he's definitely an interesting guy. I don't know if anyone, it depends on what happens in the expansion draft. Four goals for Thornton asking, did DeSimone take Mueller's potential spot to graduate next season? I don't think that Mueller has any prayer of graduating next season. And DeSimone, I think he's going to get some, yeah, he's going to get a better look in the Barracuda next year. And it'll be interesting to see who he matches up with and what happens with the defense. You know, the expansion draft could change things, but I don't think, I if you asked me who was the closest guy to graduating on that squad, and to me, if you take Tim Heat out, it's Joakim Ryan. I think Joakim Ryan's the most complete defenseman in the system, and he's miles ahead of Mueller as far as development goes, although I know he is a touch older. But yeah, Joakim Ryan's my guy. I think but it'd be interesting to see what they do with the defense and, you know, the expansion draft, and then if they make any moves in the summer. So, I mean, you know, maybe there's potential for a Barracuda player to come up, but I don't see it, because you still, you know, unless it's like a seventh guy and they might just go, I don't know if they wouldn't just go out and get like a, you know, a veteran stopgap, because Doug Wilson generally likes that. But I think Joakim Ryan would be a guy that I would love to see, to get a chance to really shine in the NHL. Cause I think he could handle it. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, Joakim Ryan's a guy for me that I think, you know, eventually, not next year maybe, but eventually, you know, he's your Paul Ryan replacement, or Paul, oh my goodness. He's your Paul Martin replacement. I'm getting all the names mixed up. I agree with Chris here. Chris Edwards in the chat's repeating something that me and Zach have said a bajillion times. Tim Heed's going to get a one-way deal from somebody who wants that, you know, who needs a second power play unit guy, and a, you know, more veteran player. Joakim Martin, everybody. DeMello is in the lineup next year? I think so. Matt's asking, you know. I'm trying to do that. I don't know. Yeah, look, lots of guys are looking at Tim Heed, you know, and I'm trying not to beat dead horses here, because we've really, really, really beat this to death. But I don't see it, unless Doug Wilson has a one-way contract waiting for him and a secure spot on the line, because Tim Heed's a guy who would, you know, if he doesn't figure into the plans, then, you know, he could be a guy that if you tried to send him down, would get scooped up in waivers, no problem. So I think unless Doug Wilson specifically sees a spot for him, that's his for sure. He's not going to sign. He won't be back in San Jose. Four goals for Thornton asking, who does Vegas take from San Jose, the expansion draft? Yeah, I mean, who do they take? Look, obviously, you know, they could take a defenseman. I think, you know, taking a guy like a Schlemko or a Dylan or something wouldn't shock me at all. But I think when you look at who depending on how the Sharks do their protection, if they go 8-1 or 7-3-1, you know, they're going to have to expose a couple of forwards with that meet some criteria. You know, I'm still on the shot where I wouldn't be shocked to see, you know, a Chris Tierney be thrown out there and possibly taken. Cause I think if you throw Chris Tierney out there, I think Vegas would scoop him up. So, but you know, it's so, to me, it depends on who they expose on the forward ranks, but but likely defense. So, yeah, and then Vegas picked up the Russian guy. I won't say kid because he's not a kid, but it's going to be interesting to see how he does. Is Carpenter better than Chris Tierney? No, I don't think so. I think Chris Tierney, look, at Ryan Carpenter is what Ryan Carpenter is going to be. Chris Tierney still has some room to grow. We've seen Chris Tierney do pretty good with decent line mates. Obviously, he, Shipshev, yes. I think that with Chris Tierney, we've seen him, what he can do with decent line mates. I don't know, you know, how far away from ceiling could Carpenter be at this point in his career? And I think that's a fair question to ask. I really like Ryan Carpenter, and I really liked him on the whole team. Okay, let me finish this thought first. I don't dislike Ryan Carpenter. I think Ryan Carpenter is really good, but I don't know how much better he would get. Like, I think he'd be a great fourth line center. And yeah, for Rose Thornton saying, I hope they don't expose Tierney. That would thin out our center depth. Well, the whole team plays center, so they're not in any worries. Rob Iman asking, fact or fiction, O'Regan is better than Tierney. I think yes, but again, we haven't really seen O'Regan play with he. I feel like O'Regan's done pretty good considering the line mates that he's played with when he's been up. I don't. I think O'Regan's ceiling's probably higher than Chris Tierney's, but I think so. I mean, I can't really stop. I mean, I've been banging the drum for a long time that if you are going to, you know, if you lose Tierney, then you have O'Regan already in the wings. So, I think that, yeah, I think they'd be fine. The Wilson said, yes, everyone plays center. You get drafted as a center to play wing. It's what happens. Four goals for Thornton, Pavs, Kuchin, and Hurdle, 1-2-3. We have no winger depth. We're doing okay. And I think it's the, yeah, I mean, we're a little thin on the wings, but I don't think it's as bad as it is. Look at Donskoy was playing with, you know, 100 separated shoulders, probably at the same time. I think we have guys that are better than they were last season, if that makes any sense. And I think that our wing depth isn't, I don't think it's as concerning as it's made out to be. What type of player? Yeah, I mean, when you're drafting in the 20s, best player available, but if you're Doug Wilson, you're probably reaching for a second rounder because that's what Doug Wilson does. Yeah, I don't know. I think, yeah, I look at it. I think you take the best player available. I think that the Sharks, man, they, you know, I think in the later rounds, I think they can do, they can satisfy some of their goaltending needs. Yeah, so I don't know. I haven't really looked at the draft boards right now to kind of see where everyone's falling out. So I'm not really, I've just been really swamped this week, so I haven't really had a chance. Yeah, Vince G, swing for the fence on the front. I think that's what I want. I want the best player available, and I want Doug Wilson to actually swing for the fence, like actually go for it. Like, none of this safe, you know, two-way caps out as a middle six guy. I don't want that. I want him swing for the fences. Four goals for Thornton asking, did I hear the weak rumors that JVR from the Leafs for Vlasic? I have, because I am also in that Toronto media bubble, but that's ridiculous. There's no way. There's just no way. There's just, yeah, I don't see it. For one, why would you make that trade? Because Vlasic, I mean, I guess, you know, Vlasic does have a year left, but I don't, it doesn't make sense for either team, in my opinion. I think the Leafs probably do need a little help on the blue line, but I don't, but to get Vlasic, that's gonna cost Toronto a pretty penny, and it's sure as hell gonna be more than JVR, who, I mean, you know, Vlasic's a little cardboard either, but. Which shark would be a good trade for JVR? I don't know, Bodker. I don't mind JVR. Don't get me wrong. I like JVR, but oh man, I don't know. I just feel like, how old's JVR at this point? Let's go take a look on the internets. He's only 28 years old. He's hurt a lot more than that, though. He makes me think he's older. 28-year-old player. I mean, look at I guess I think that Toronto could get a better deal for him than they could out of San Jose. But at the same time, they don't really, you know, it's not like Toronto needs prospects at this point. They kind of, Macko, age don't matter. Get rid of Bodker. I agree. Javier is super skilled close to the net. I feel like once again, you know, I don't think Joe Pavelski has completely fallen off a cliff. We kind of have that player already. That's just my opinion there. I don't know if JVR would be really put the team would be the thing to put the team over the top. And more importantly, you know, this is a guy with a pretty significant injury history too. I agree. Yeah. Pavelski, Chris S saying, Hail Hydra. Four goals for Thornton saying that Pav's greater than JVR because of the intangibles. I'd be with that. You know, Vince G's absolutely right. JVR is going to be a trade deadline overpay for someone next season. I completely agree. And I would rather it not be San Jose because San Jose doesn't. Let's figure out where they are next season before I say that. But I'm going to say that San Jose's probably not in a position where they need to be selling any more assets for things. You know, they need to start accumulating some assets again. I don't know. We'll see next season though what they look like. Plov's leaving the game tonight with a head injury is not fun. Got a little nervous with Heed there for a second too. Yevpilov's, man, I love Yevpilov's. I mean, I know he doesn't fill the net with goals like he did in junior, but if there's a guy, like, I don't think there's anyone else on that team where you can just kind of slot him in anywhere and he knows his job and he does it just really well. You know, if you put him up with the forwards, you know, he's a good, he's pushing play, you know, you stick him down with the grinders and he's going to grind away for you. So hopefully Yevpilov's is okay. When it's all said and done. But yeah, obviously that's not good. Yeah, Flavs is a nice piece of that team. Chuck McDestiny asking if we can revisit the Hansen trade. I guess so. Yannick Hansen, I don't dislike Yannick Hansen. I think he's a nice, he was kind of a nice addition. I didn't like the price we paid for him, although now, you know, it's a fourth, whatever. I don't like that we gave up on Goldobin, but I think when you look at just the way the mold of players that we generally pull out, Goldobin just doesn't fit that mold. Yannick Hansen, you know, I said it when the trade happened and you know, I felt like we were kind of doubling down on Bodker. And once that little boost he gave the first line wore off, I mean, that's basically what we got from Yannick Hansen. This is a guy who, you know, didn't play in the last 11 minutes of game six when we got eliminated. So, I mean, I think that kind of speaks volumes for. But again, you know, was Goldobin a dead asset? Quite possibly. It seemed like the Sharks weren't too impressed with what he brought to the table. Who do I think slots in Wednesday if Yevpilov can't go? Collie, man, maybe. Maybe Noah Rowe draws back in. I didn't think he was he even in tonight? I think Noah Rowe would probably draw in first. I didn't notice him. If he was playing tonight, I didn't notice him. But I would, that would be my guess, is Noah Rowe would draw back in. That was for Vince G. Four goals for Thornton asking if not shark centric, but what is my opinion of the the no goal? Okay, yes, the Ducks Oilers. I didn't watch the game, and I've heard a lot of talk about it after, and. By the letter of the law, it was the right cost. It was the right, you know, it was the right call based on the letter of the law. I just feel like in the spirit of the law, not so much, but by the letter of the law, it was the right call. It is what it is. I think that it's something that, you know, they'll probably look at some point when it costs somebody a Stanley Cup. Because that's the only time you ever look at these things. Tough break for sure. But I get it based on the letter of the law. I get the call. I don't know if that's helpful. And if you're just tuning in, listening to me ramble on here, we're just waiting for Zach to deal with his. Responsibilities at the game, doing some interviews and whatnot. As soon as Zach's done that, he will be joining me. Hey, AO12345 has just come back in from the Barracuda game. Woohoo! So yeah, once Zach gets here, then obviously we'll do more breaking down. I think I kind of like this. This thing is great. Yeah, that call helps the CUDA. That's Vince Gio's right. You know what? I don't care who wins the Edmonton Duck series since I can't get a Meteor. Actually, I wouldn't be sad to see the Oilers win that series, to be honest. But right now, I think we're just waiting. We're just hoping for a long series so that the goals don't get reinforcements. I think that's the best you could hope for. Just 7 games. Hi, Zach.
Is this thing on?
Yes, it is.
How are you, Mr. Ian? Good to join you.
I'm good. I've just been kind of just answering questions, and we've kind of gone all over the board, so it'll be nice to focus.
Uh-oh. Are you counting on me to focus?
Well, you know, you're going to bring more intelligent things to say about this game than I will.
Okay, so I'm bringing focus and intelligence. Okay, folks, thank you for joining the show tonight. If you liked what you saw, please click like and subscribe. Obviously a great game from the Barracuda, you know, a 5-1 win with the power play chipping in 2 goals. First multi-goal effort from the power play this postseason. In fact, it doubled its output, right? Went from 2 goals before the game to 4 goals after.
Right.
So that was a big thing. And after the game, Carpenter, Bergman, excuse me, both spoke on the power play. And, you know, Carpenter had a good point that power play, a lot of it is about gelling and cohesion and kind of the feel of the game. And the Barracuda really didn't get their early season lineup that got out of the gates with a blazing hot start until – Sorensen came back, you know, in the middle of the Stockton series. So all of a sudden you have a power play that has had cohesion, shooken up with the number of new players, and that cohesion is interrupted. So good to see that kind of coming back around. And I think that has probably a lot to do with it. And that's not to take away from Stockton's penalty killing, which was superb as a unit. And Carpenter even mentioned that about how Stockton, you know, blocked a million shots. And it did seem like that at times. They were just completely giving up the body and moving exceedingly well as a unit. So the goals, not as strong on the power penalty kill as Stockton. And so far it's showing. Power plays at 50% through 2 games.
Yeah, you can't argue with that at all. To me, I mean, this was, to me, the best game that this team's played this playoff. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, definitely. And Carpenter, who now has 10 points in 7 games, who's been the Barracuda's best player, said that this was their best game as well. And I completely concur with that it was just a complete game. This is more what we saw from the San Jose Barracuda during the regular season, where the power play, you know, is very dangerous. The penalty kill is as well. That they're getting their chances 5-on-5, and you know, getting some high danger scoring chances. 21 of their shots, I was trying to keep track during the game, came from the high danger areas, and that's more of what we saw from the Barracuda, and definitely not what we saw in game one.
Right. Do you want to talk about game one first, and then come back to game two, or how do you want to do this?
Well, I think game one, you know, both teams were really feeling each other out. I think the Stockton San Jose matchup was about as bad as it would get for the Barracuda. The styles just don't mesh. Now with San Diego taking Enroth, Tokarski, and Kevin Boyle out of the equation, I think the Barracuda match up exceedingly well against San Diego. But really, the Barracuda in game one didn't get the traffic needed in front of Jonas Enroth, who is unequivocally an NHL goalie stuck in the AHL. And he's playing like it. And the goals, even tonight, that the Barracuda had, they were, you know, they had that great 2-on-1 that he had no chance on. Adam Holuka bounces off his skates as he's driving the net hard on a rebound. Buddy Robinson roofs it from inside the blue paint while getting knocked off his feet on a rebound. You know, dirty, nasty screenshot rebound ricochet goals. That's what it's going to take to beat Enroth. You're not going to wire pucks home from the blue line on him all game long and expect to win. That's simply not going to happen. And I think the Barracuda, they had a lot of shots in game one, but I didn't feel like many of them were dangerous.
Yeah, I know. I would agree with that assessment. I think that's the one thing that I kind of took away from that game, from the game yesterday too, was that the shots were there, but the danger wasn't.
Right. And then conversely, tonight you saw what happens when the Barracuda decided to get into the greasy areas, into the high danger areas, that home plate in front of Jonas Enroth. And I don't think it was any coincidence that, you know, the Holukas, the Robinsons of the world figured heavily in that, you know, Carpenter and Goudreau, you know, had that great combination. None of that is surprising. And they're going to need their horses. I also just wanted to point out, because I know this season we've been accused and our reputation tarnished and our morals questioned about Timo Meier. And I thought tonight was the best hockey game I've ever seen of him.
He was
a physical force. He was a player with skill and edge and heaviness to his game. This is the Timo Meier that the San Jose Sharks were expecting when they took him in the first round.
Completely agree.
Now comes the question, as it does with all young players. This isn't, you know, we see it up and down the lineup. You know, Kevin LeBanks, Daniel Regans, all of them. Can this young player sustain that level? And that's the key. If Timo Meier can sustain something close to this 100% effort that we saw tonight, you've really got to like the San Jose Barracuda's chances going forward. If he goes back to, say, game three in Stockton, I wasn't too thrilled. It was either game three or game four. You know, then it gets harder.
Right.
So it's, you know, Timo Meier was a massively positive impact on tonight's game. And with Kevin LeBanc gripping his carbon fiber stick to the point where it's turning to dust, and Danny O'Regan playing well overall, but struggling a little defensively. He was -1 again tonight. I think he's now a team worst -6. You might want to check my math on that, Ian. As I remotely do my podcast once again, which is only going to get worse because I'm following the Barracuda down to San Diego for all three games. Sorry, folks, but you know we're trying to get you as much news as we can, and unfortunately, that a lot of that means just remote sitting in parking lots and doing podcasts.
That's true. give me a second. I'm looking for. I'm just looking that up right now.
No problem. And one interesting note: Pulev started the second. Something happened, and I didn't quite see what, but he was. I forget the person's handle on Twitter, but they mentioned, you know, where's Jeff Pulev? And I thought I saw him on the bench. We don't have the best vantage point, but he certainly right. wasn't out there for the third. And after the game, I asked Sommer what the status on Jeff Pulev was. And Sommer said, a head thing. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure a head thing is not good.
No.
He had he got that wallop in a head in the head late in the season. As you'll remember.
Yes.
So did he re-aggravate that? Let's just come out and say it. Did he, you know, sustain another concussion or head injury of some sort? That's definitely not good. He and Blackwell have had a bit of chemistry on the fourth line. Haluka was down there again, which really speaks to the depth of this team. When Adam Haluka, the only place you can fit him in a lineup is on the fourth line.
Right.
You know, that just really tells you everything you need to know about how deep the Barracuda are. Nick DeSimone's goal was his first of the playoffs. He's now up to 5 points.
Yes.
And which is, I would say, surprising. You know, he played well in the regular season, but he, like some of his teammates, has really elevated their game in the postseason. And if you go to, I did a three-question series, as I often do with the Barracuda players, and talk to him a little bit after the game. You can find that on my Twitter feed, at Zach the Bear. But, you know, he credited a lot to Jacob Middleton as well, who we've both been impressed with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not like he's just doing it alone.
Yeah. And Sommer actually came out and said it. He said, you know, the Sharks front office said, we'd really like to see this guy in the regular season. And there's, you know, Sommer's under no direction to play DeSimone. And DeSimone's play is keeping Patrick McNally and Dan Kelly, who had been mainstays for the Barracuda, in the press box, because he's not playing poorly at all.
Right.
You know, he's a righty. He's a right-handed shot, so matching up with the left-handed Middleton. And both those players, you know, DeSimone was in college at the start of the season, and Middleton had a tough time getting into games in the first dozen contests or so this season. So really impressive play by the Barracuda's third pairing, that have really put on the shelf some AHL veterans due to their strong play, even though they're both rookies.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I got those numbers. So, Daniel Regan is a team worst -5. Next to him is Kevin LeBanc at a -3 and Marcus Sorensen with a -2.
And that's that whole line. And I know people, you know, crow about plus and minus. Unfortunately, that's the best we have for advanced stats in the AHL. But, you know, their youth is getting exposed. They're still working hard. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about overall.
No.
But it's just something to be mindful of.
If Yev Pulev's, this is a question I got. If Yev Pulev's can't go Wednesday, who draws in?
That's a great question. You know, I think,
Noah Rhodes.
Yeah, Noah Rhodes played in a couple games. You know, he brings a good bit of grit. I think against, and Rhodes played against Stockton, and I think that was the correct play. I think bringing in McCauley here might be something that Sommer would consider with his speed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a bit like Jeff Plobs, where he can play on a couple different lines depending on what his duties are. McCauley played up on the top line. He played on the fourth line. He played, you know, he did a little bit of penalty killing, you know, because he's got just some great wheels. And against a fast team, really with very limited physicality, both of these, you know, game one and game two, the physicality reminded me more of a hugathon than postseason hockey.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not, especially coming out of the Stockton series where it was black and blue. This one is just a lot of skating, a lot of speed, a lot of skill. And I'm not sure Noah Rhode would quite fit into a track meet as well as McCauley.
No, that's, I think that's fair. I think, I was just thinking, because, you know, Noah Rhode's a guy that I think that, it'd be interesting to see, like, with the Sharks, because you don't know what, you know, who they're looking to see things from. I mean, McCauley, I think, is a, you know, would be just as good a pick. You just have Noah Rhode here for a limited time before he buggers back to Europe. So I don't know. That was kind of my take on it.
And I think that's a good point. The other side of that is that McCauley could be a player that's on your team next year.
That's
where
right.
You know, Noah Rhode won't be.
Yep. No, and that's, and then that, you know, like it could go both ways. Looking in the chat here, just want to see, make sure I'm not missing anything in the chat while I was looking at other numbers.
Sorry to throw you under the bus and make you find those numbers for me.
No,
as always, our fearless leader.
No, I don't mind at all. I mean, did you have any other, just to wrap up on yesterday's game, was there any, like, any final thoughts or anything that you wanted to air out about yesterday before we go back to tonight's game?
No, I mean, you know, you're not going to go. Oh, here comes a plane. You're not going to go 15-0 on your way to the Calder Cup.
Right.
Kind of some heartbreaking games, some tough games. That's going to happen. To be quite honest, the Barracuda stole one in game five. You know, Andrew Mangiapane could have very easily had Stockton beating up on the goals physically as opposed to the Barracuda. So it's a game of inches. You know, I thought Tim Heed's pinch there was ill-advised on the game-winning goal, but the flip side of that is Tim Heed has made that exact same play 99 other times for the Barracuda, and 98 of them have been good. This one and probably one other that I'm forgetting haven't been. And you're just going to have to deal with that, because as you saw today, you know, when he uncorked that big shot, that's what he brings. And with that, you know, it's an unfortunate play. But I look at it more of a, it was unfortunate for the Barracuda, fortunate for the goals. And, you know, at some point a road team was going to have to win, you know, in this season series. That was the first road victory by either team in 11 meetings this season.
Wow. Yeah. That's insanity too. Yeah, just they're asking about if they turned the lighting down or anything during the game because of the smaller crowd. And I think and then the Lizard Vegan said it's probably just the car because they black out some of the seats or whatnot, and that probably makes it look darker than it is.
Actually, I thought tonight's crowd was a good bit bigger than last night's crowd.
Yeah, no, it looked, I mean, from the TV, it looked. TV monitor, whatever, it looked fantastic for a Cougar game, which is nice. It's, and I'm glad to see that attendance is increasing. I apologize, it's 1:30, so I'm stumbling over my words here a little bit. We have Shark sightings at these games. Is this like contractually obligated Shark Barracuda viewing, or what's going on here?
You know, we've seen a number of Sharks just kind of floating around during the Barracuda postseason. Arundel was around. I saw him late in the season, or might have been game one in Stockton. You know, Couture was at game one for the against the goals, and then we had Jonas Donskoy in game two. So, you know, even it, I mean, there's a lot worse places to be stuck on planet Earth than Northern California in the summertime.
That's true.
So if there's a few Sharks, you know, sitting around and they can help out the farm club and the organization as a whole and do a cameo, I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either. I was just making yeah. Like sneak Dellen to play in Russ Grossnick. No one would notice. That was in the chat.
Ian, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry about that. I pressed some crazy button. You know, at some point, if this is going to work, the Barracuda need to be drawing, you know, more like tonight.
Yeah.
You know, during the regular season to justify the operational costs. There's a lot of benefits, you know, Doug Wilson is here in San Jose. The whole brain trust is here. So to be able to drop in on Sommer and Marshman and Ricci and Nabby, you know, all the development coaches, you really can't put a price on that. But no. At the end of the day, it's a business.
Yeah.
And no, so
that's for sure.
So, but you know, it's great to see the Barracuda getting some publicity. I for one am kind of shocked that the Sharks don't publicize more of the Barracuda on their Twitter feed and on their Facebook pages. You see a little bit of it,
but yeah, not nearly enough considering yeah, they own both teams,
right? And they're playing the same building, separated by about 100 yards of, you know, concrete runway,
right? Are the I don't know what I was gonna ask. Well, damn. I'm trying to think of anything that we missed. I don't want to not cover anything. That Charche Robinson Timo line is awesome. Yeah. I feel bad for Haluka because that's like there's his lineup spot gone until he got back in on the fourth line today. But yeah, I mean that line was just impressive to me.
Yeah, and Haluka plays a similar game to Timo. You know, so I think Roy, you know, made the right move there. Robinson's size and speed, really no one else on the Barracuda has that.
No.
Chartier's probably the best puck protector. He's up there with I'd say McCarthy in that respect. And yep. And so, you know, Timo, especially the effort we saw out of him tonight, that's just a really well-balanced line and takes a bit of pressure off of McCarthy, Carpenter, and Goodrow.
Absolutely. The one thing that, you know, and Cheryl's bringing up in the chat, I mean, obviously going forward now that you have three straight games in San Diego and you've already taken a game in San Jose and what, you know, I mean, that was the first time a home team has lost, you know, in game one. In like you said, 11 games. So how concerned should the Barracuda be heading back to San Diego for three games in a row?
After the game, Sommer said, you know, kind of his parting words to the scrum is, we'll be fine. So he seems pretty confident, but he also warned that San Diego plays a different game, a more up-tempo game in their own barn. You know, San Diego draws incredibly well. They're going to have, I would say, not. I think their barn holds around 12,000,
right.
And they're probably going to be very close to that. So it's going to be a loud, boisterous crowd for the goals. They're going to have last change. They're going to be able to get some matchups going. So it'll be interesting to see if Sommer shortens his bench. The fourth line has not been as good as we saw late in the season,
right?
And then with Jeff Pavlov's out, I think it's probably going to take another hit if he's not able to go in game three, as well as Blackwell and Haluka, you know, played. I thought they had a strong game, but boy, if, you know, the Kosala line jumps over the boards against them, that's going to be scary.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, and especially, you know, but over the course of those next three games, we don't know what's going to happen with the, you know, with the Ducks Oilers. So you always got to be nervous about what reinforcements they might get as well at some point too. I think that you know, not I think not having, I mean, the defenseman obviously, like, that's been kind of their issue for a while now, but I think I think that they definitely want to get Cardillas back in the lineup at some point, if I'm the Gulls.
You know, it's interesting because they're missing so many key pieces. Corey Trope is out with that upper body injury that he sustained in game one against the Ontario Reign. Cardillas was called up, so he hasn't played yet in this series. And then they're missing Theodore and Montour. If
That's
the
huge.
that's huge. And so it'll be interesting. Sommer shared that, you know, there were times when the Sharks were bounced and the guys that could have been sent down, they just didn't. They thought they were NHLers not to risk it. So with Montour and Theodore, maybe they don't come back. I think they do, but you know, there's you got to keep that in the realm of possibility. Trope's injury, you know, as soon as he's able to come back, we'll see him. And then Cardillas, I think if he's sent down, you know, he'll definitely draw into that lineup. So
Definitely.
I think no matter what, 50% of those, you know, two of those four will definitely come in. And then the defenseman, you know, that just completely changes the complexion of that lineup.
I completely agree. Couple things in the chat. Sleepy Mofo saying is asking, is there any chance, especially after this with this playoff run, of keeping Ryan Carpenter next season? Likely not. I think someone's going to give him money. I think, look, Carpenter, these guys are going to try and get, you know, at the very least a nice cushy one-way deal that where if they do end up in the AHL, they're still going to get paid like they're NHLers.
Agree 100%. Robinson, you can throw in there as well. Grossnick, you can throw in there as well. Those are guys that, to be honest, I don't think money's going to matter as much as opportunity.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. What else do I got here? I got a couple of questions here. You know, four goals for Thornton asking, is Mueller the next Petrecki? Mueller has improved. I'm not ready to call him a bust. Am I concerned about his progression or the lack thereof in some cases? Yes, absolutely. But I'm not there yet.
Yeah, Sommer's taken Mueller off the power play. And post-game, he mentioned that he wanted to break up Ryan and Heed, and he's done so. You've got Bergman skating with Heed on one unit, and then you have LeBanc at one point and Joakim Ryan on the other. And so, you know, and there every game there's a couple plays where it's Timo, or excuse me, Mirko, just not making good decisions with the puck. You know, I completely concur with your assessment. Is he a bust? I think that's way too early. But the flip side is, I think the concern is very real right now. Very real.
Yeah, absolutely. Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Gaudreau. Jesus, Ian. I'm just going to bed.
Pull it
Could Barclay
together, man.
Gaudreau, yeah, could Barclay Gaudreau realistically get another shot with the Sharks?
No.
I don't think so either. I completely 100% agree with you there. Look, Barclay Gaudreau, I like Barclay Gaudreau as a player at times, but he's been leapfrogged in the depth charts so many times at this point. There's just you and you can't write. And Mackel reminding you cannot kick Peter DeBoer's dog. It's just not a good way to get successful. No, look, I think Barclay Gaudreau, if he comes back, I think he's an RFA this offseason.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so I mean, if he come, you know, could he come back? Yes, I don't think that he has a good shot. He's definitely He's definitely a guy who can come up and pinch in an injury, but I just feel like the guys that are going to be pushing for spots ahead of him just have the inside track now. Timo Meier, Kevin LeBanc, Danny O'Regan. I mean, he's just been jumped in the depth chart. And yes, AO, I agree. I wish we did have Johnny Gaudreau. I wish that I wish that Gerard Gallant was our enforcer, clearly. Gosh, the things I say on this show. Anything else here? I think I've Hello, Alex. I think I've expired anything that I've got. I'm tired as hell. And it's really showing this show, and I apologize. I'm getting over some sort of bug yesterday. So I guess what we'll do. I mean, we've been on for an hour almost, so I don't mind wrapping this up if you're good, Zach.
Yeah, once again, I'll be traveling down to San Diego for the three games. So look forward to some more teal tinted glasses from the road from me, and
Yes.
we'll have some post game comments and
Oh,
insight.
sorry, this one asked if Landy was at my house because I have laundry baskets in a chair behind me and I didn't realize it. Yeah, no, it's just my laundry.
Oh,
It's actually clean. It's in a
that's funny.
basket. It's in a
That's
basket.
true. That's true. Good call, though,
I
whoever that
do have another
was.
question. Have we heard anything about Jeremy Waugh's injury and his recovery or anything? I haven't heard nothing.
I've heard absolutely nothing. There's been a number of guys kind of floating around. I haven't seen him at all.
Right.
That's not to say he's not here or hasn't been here. I ran into Joachim Blichfeld. He said hi.
Right.
And some of the other prospects that I see on the road. Rudolf Baukers blew through town, and I didn't get to see him, but he was around. Anything else? No news on Parker Gahagan. There's some hang-ups there. There's still mutual interest. But
Good.
that's one of those things that other powers that be are intervening, and so that may or may not be a thing. And the Barracuda are definitely going to have some decisions to make at goal next for next season. The role of a general manager, they're already working hard at next season, and that's the reality.
Right. No. His ankle, it was an ankle, right? For a while.
No, it was his knee.
Oh, his knee, right.
Yeah.
I knew it was one of the, it's been something on his leg. Sorry, his knee. I did was his he did hurt his ankle at some point, didn't he?
He had a high ankle sprain
Okay.
2 years ago that never, those are difficult to ever
Recover
really
from.
get, healed up during a season. The other QMJHL defender that's going to be turning pro is Kevin Fitzgerald, or did we ever figure? Is it? I think it's Kevin. It's spelled Cavan. I'm pretty sure they pronounce it Kevin.
Those
He had that
French.
shoulder injury, but he'll be turning pro next year as well. So, looks like the blue line's going to stay crowded. Even if Joachim Ryan and Tim Heed move on, which we both think is highly probable, you've got Fitzgerald and Walk coming in. DeSimone looks to be a heck of a signing.
Yep.
He had a couple suitors and chose the Sharks, and that looks like another great find for Doug Wilson and his staff.
Absolutely.
Middleton's development, I think we could firmly place in the ahead of schedule. And he was an LA Kings pick, so the LA Kings don't get a big, steady, puck-moving right-handed defender with decent mobility. The Sharks do. That's got to be a positive. Excuse me, he's left-handed. DeSimone's the righty on that pairing. But still, it's keeping, adding to the Sharks' cupboard and keeping from the Kings.
Just a couple things here. Vince G in the chat saying last he heard that San Jose and Blainsville management were in talks about the extent of his injury. Actually, they flew Wah from Quebec in to see the Sharks medical team when he was initially injured. So the Sharks medical team is the one that did all the work on him. Chris, good old Chris,
which says a lot about the extent.
Which, yeah, exactly, and that's the thing that scared me, is because he, you know, when you want to fly a guy in from junior to see your own team doctors, that's a scary thing. Chris saying that if you're looking for some refreshment nearby in San Diego, you should hit up Modern Times or Stone World Gardens.
Okay.
Matt, Chuck McDestiny asking, Ryan's an RFA. Are you expecting him to sign? Joachim Ryan's coming back. He's an RFA. He's big time in the Sharks' plans. He will be back. There's no, he's not going anywhere. Especially not to Europe or anything silly like that. He's on track to make an NHL roster. He's not going to walk away from that now. Especially, you know, this is a guy who, Joachim Ryan, you know, he came over here to play hockey. You know, you don't come over here and play in the NCAA to not play hockey here.
Right.
Matt Harvey sat next to a scout from the Bruins tonight. I wonder if they would trade McAvoy for Mueller. Not effing likely. Ayo, what about Heed? What about Heed? Ayo, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me know.
What you mean? Are the Sharks going to re-sign Tim Heed?
I don't think so. I don't see it.
You know, he's an unrestricted free agent. I think that with, you know, and I sound like a broken record, but this is really, I really firmly believe this. This offseason, we're going to see some stupendous movement on rosters. It might be the busiest offseason in the history of the NHL. With the Vegas Knights coming in, you've got the expansion draft. You're going to have teams jockeying. You know, kind of the youth movement is on in the NHL, and teams are getting younger, faster. So draft picks, you know, are more valuable than ever. And the 2018 draft is going to be huge. So.
Okay, last question. Chuck McDestiny asks if you like any who do you like in the draft besides Robin Salo around the spot where the Sharks will be picking, and we'll wrap up with that.
So I've been fortunate. The Dauber prospects mock draft, we've done two, and both times Robin Salo has been there for the San Jose Sharks. I really like that signing to replenish the blue line. You know, I've gone back and forth on the Boston Terriers goaltender, Jake Ottinger. I think I finally settled that the first round is just too early for the Sharks to be taking a goalie. I wouldn't mind seeing them trade up, you know, and taking him in the second. I don't think he would make it much past pick 40.
Right.
Really under any circumstance. You know, there's a couple guys that depending – you know, if they're there, I think if the Sharks wanted to really swing for the fences, two players from the Spokane Chiefs that could be on the radar, they're both smaller forwards but very high in skill, is Jared Anderson Dolan, who's a center, and then Kaylor Yamamoto, depending on the ranking. I have him in the late teens. He might slide a couple more slots to the Sharks wherever that final pick lines up. He's immensely talented and slippery, good shot, great vision, but he's 5'8".
Gotcha.
And in a prospect pool that's already, you know, a little bit searching for size, that's a little spooky. And then depending on who you talk to, Kristen Vesalainen had a great U18 tournament in the JC U18s. He had an exceedingly hard regular season. He shuffled between Swedish Hockey League and Liga over in Finland. didn't really get traction at the U20s. I saw him over the summer at the National Junior Evaluation Camp, and there's no denying his skill.
Right.
He's a big body. He moves well. He just had a really hard time putting it together. Whereas you had other, you know, young players, you know, performing in the SHL and in Liga. So that's a little concerning, but against his peer group, he did pretty darn well. He's got a bit of size, and it'd be a good skilled infusion there. Probably at the 20 pick, it's a little too early to Jesper Boqvist is a player I like. He came out of the SHL second division. He played with Timrå along with Elias Pettersson. And he's a kind of a toolsy skill guy. Not terribly big, but that's another player I like. Kind of sticking with a European flavor there.
Nice. Couple offshoot questions we got from that. Chris Edwards likes Kaler. Jeff McDestiny asks, where do you see Suzuki going in your mocks?
So far? Oh boy. I'm trying to remember. I am not on as high as on Suzuki. I think he's trending upward. I think he's going to be a player that, I've really struggled with Suzuki. I have him, you know, in the late teens right now, if I remember correctly. I don't have my top 45 in front of me, but he's been moving up. That's a guy that I think could definitely be in the mix around that pick. But he's not that big either. He's coming in at about 5'11". But he's had a great year with Owen Sound.
Yes. The whole, Chris Edwards and this, just what I've, from what little looking around I've done, which hasn't been very much, he's like 8 to 20 is a complete toss up, and I can't argue with him. Like, it seems like there's so much like with this draft, it's so much more like, what do you like so much as, you know what I mean? Like, cause it's not the deepest of drafts. I think you can kind of just look at different things and say, I really looking for a guy with this skill set, and there's not a huge drop off in there.
You know, I see this as more of a traditional draft. We've been incredibly spoiled.
We have.
The last, 3 to 5 years, there's been some excellent, excellent players. And I think this draft has a good chance. Nico Hischier took over the top spot for me. He's my number one. I really like his vision. I think Nolan Patrick, he has a really good chance to be playing in the NHL next year. He's just a very complete, big-bodied center. Elias Pettersson is my number three. He's a really skilled, great vision center out of Sweden. And Cody Glass has really surprised. I saw him quite a bit with Portland over the last couple years, and the strides he's made has been very impressive.
Yeah.
And he's raw. He's going to need a year or two. He'll stay in the dub for his overage year, I think. But there's some really good players at the top end. Miro Hiskinen is in there. Martin Nikas out of the Czech Republic. So I think this is a normal draft year, but I agree. Once you get into the double digits and through the first round, that's going to be where the scouts are really going to have to be on their game, because it's not just where you value somebody, it's where other teams value somebody.
Exactly.
So it's this is going to be one of those years. There's a lot less slam dunks. It's going to come down to some really heavy scouting.
All right. Well, with that, I think we're going to get us out of here. Zach, thanks for coming on as always, and we look forward to you coming on from goals territory to continue talking with us about the games coming forward. I don't know as far as like what we're going to do for a show. I don't think I'm doing a show Wednesday. If someone else wants to come and run the channel so that they can talk with everyone, then we will do a show, but I will let you know. I'm not promising a show Wednesday. It's too late. I can't be up until 2 in the morning on a Wednesday night. Other than that, though, the next game's on the weekend, right? It's just the Wednesday game this week?
Yep. It'll be the Wednesday game and then again a Friday-Saturday doubleheader.
Okay. And so Friday-Saturday, for sure, for sure, for sure. We will be here barring sickness and death. Other than that, guys, thanks for coming on. Thanks for watching again. Obviously, look at, you guys know the drill. Teal Town USA, read it, click on it, like it, subscribe to the channel, tell two friends, retweets are awesome. Other than that, have a good night. I'm going to sleep. Later.